You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 30th day of December 2020, I'm going to be reaching back into the old Sully Baseball podcast archives and play a podcast that fits in perfectly with the What If Wednesday template. I'm going to ask you what if about Pete Rose and also Benedict Arnold. Trust me, it all makes sense in the end. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. It's also available wherever you get your podcasts. When you're staying at home during these trying times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen and the brand new Locked On Bets with your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Sully Baseball, where you can send your requests for the Sunday requests. I'm also on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. Okay, so I am continuing the What If Wednesday, where we talk about alternate realities in baseball, but I'm going back to the old Sully Baseball Daily Podcast, episode number 1397. That's when I had not yet reach the 1,400 consecutive days doing an original podcast every single day. This was one that I originally posted on the 20th day of August 2016. And the episode is titled Pete Rose, Benedict Arnold, and Alternate Realities. And it fits in perfectly into the What If Wednesday series that I'm doing. I have a couple of What If Wednesdays that are coming up, including one about Reggie Jackson and Thurman Munson and their fate in Yankee history, and a couple other big ones. But I thought you'd appreciate this one. So here we are, turning back the clock and listening to me talking about Pete Rose, Benedict Arnold, and alternate realities. Benedict Arnold. Remember Benedict Arnold? Ooh, he's a villain. He's a villain. He was almost one of the great heroes in American history. Now, he said he was part of an expedition that was going to capture Quebec. And Quebec was going to be basically the 14th colony. Quebec didn't want to be part of England. Quebec didn't want to be part of Canada. They wanted out too. And they were going to go and invade Montreal, invade Quebec, take over the garrisons there, bring them aboard, and then Quebec would have been the 14th colony, would have been one of the original states. We would have a predominantly Catholic, French-speaking state in the United States. Montreal would have been an American city, not a North American city, but a city in the United States of America. And a giant snowstorm hit Canada that basically hamstrung Arnold's attack, and he was repelled. If it was a mild day when Arnold and his men went to attack, Quebec would have been the 14th state, and Benedict Arnold would be a great hero and probably would have been considered one of the great founding fathers in our history. Instead, he is he is synonymous with betrayal. And we might still have the damn Expos. We might have the Expos. What do you mean Benedict Arnold betraying our country? He was one of the great heroes in our country. In fact, every time you go up to Quebec, they have giant statues of him. In fact, I think it's terrible that they're renaming Benedict Arnold Stadium into Kraft Macaroni and Cheese Park, because that's just big business heading into baseball. But man, the Expos, one of the great teams in one of the big cities. And I'm tired of this Northeast bias of everyone focused on Montreal. But at least we all speak French now. May we. That would be reality. That's how we would see reality. And one of the what-ifs I was thinking about is one that I've talked about so many times on this podcast in terms of the reality of how it played out. And it has to do with Pete Rose. Now, I don't think there is, I don't care how many alternate universes you have. I don't care if we are in the monitor and Pariah looking out and seeing the crisis on infinite Earths and the antimatter going through the crisis on infinite Earths. And boy, oh boy, if you understood that reference, you better respond back to me on Twitter at Sully Baseball. I don't care how many multiple Earths we're in. You will never find an alternate universe in which Pete Rose is not gambling. Because that's, again, part of who he is. But what if he was more careful? What if he wasn't caught? I think the tonnage of people who have gambled over the years is probably in the stratosphere. Especially in the years where players weren't making multi-million dollar contracts. But what if he was a little, what if he wasn't as careless, wasn't as cavalier, wasn't as sloppy? What if any sort of whisper about Pete Rose would not have turned into a season-long investigation that hung like a bad storm cloud over the 1989 season and resulted in Rose's suspension and, let's face it, the death of Bart Giamatti? Think about the narrative of Pete Rose. Basically from the point when he was traded back to Cincinnati. Because remember, he got his 4,000th hit as a member of the Montreal Expos. And in this reality, we're going back to this version of reality where Benedict Arnold did not successfully do a conquest of Quebec. Okay, I'm not going to make this that confusing. All right. So he's traded back to the Reds. Becomes the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. And from that point, he has his greatest achievement, his greatest triumph, which is passing Ty Cobb as the all-time hit leader, which should be remembered as one of the great moments in the history of baseball, one of the great achievements, breaking one of the great records that people thought was going to stand until the heat death of the solar system. And instead, it was broken by a player with many parallels to Cobb in terms of his style of play, in terms of his desire, in terms of his hustle, and in terms of the person who had to battle some demons as well. And that moment as the player manager, doing it with the Reds, not like getting his 4,000th hit as a member of the Expos, or passing Stan Musial as the all-time National League hits leader as a member of the Phillies, but back with the Reds where he belongs. The team that everyone remembers him as being part of that team. Bringing the championships back to Cincinnati and all that other crap. That would be one of the great moments. One of those moments that you sort of look at and say, oh man. That would be a, do you remember where you were and what you were doing kind of moment in the history of baseball. But while that was going on, behind the scenes, he was gambling. He was the manager of the Reds and was gambling. And as I've said a billion times before, if you bet on games that your team is playing, even if you bet on them to win, that's a bad thing. Because if you the games where you bet on them to win, all right, fine. Yeah, you're playing extra hard or whatever. But what does that say about the games you don't bet on them? And what does that say about the game before and the game afterwards? There's a reason why gambling, even on your team to win, is forbidden in baseball. Well, he was doing that. While he was doing the thing that preserved his status as one of the all-time great legends in baseball, he was at the same time doing the thing that would lead to his downfall and disgrace, which makes him such a compelling character. What if he wasn't as sloppy? What if he wasn't betting on his own team? What if he was only betting on, I don't know, everything else? What if he was only betting on football, horse racing, judo, tennis, highlight, tiddlywinks, hungry hippos, whatever the hell else he was betting on at the time? and Yubarov and Giamatti would look him over and say, hey, look at Pete, you're gambling a little too much. Can you assure us you're not betting on baseball? And he either covered his tracks or said, oh man, I better not gamble on that. Hey, are we ready for some football? College football? NFL football? The NFL regular season is finishing up. The playoff picture is becoming clearer. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for 50% off your welcome bonus. We got the NFL regular season winding up. And it looks like you're not going to see the Patriots. And so you're going to see some new champion coming in this year. Maybe the Chiefs will repeat. Maybe the Bills will finally win. Maybe the Washington no-names will do something. Maybe it will be the Packers. I don't know. Neither do you. But maybe you have an idea and maybe you want to slap some money down and make a bet. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's get back to talk about alternate realities, Pete Rose and Benedict Arnold.
Now think about that moment, like the moment of Benedict Arnold. Think about what Benedict Arnold could have been, because he also fought the Battle of Saratoga, and he was the great hero of the Battle of Saratoga, which helped turn the war around. I'm talking about Benedict Arnold, not Pete Rose. That would have been weird if Pete Rose was the Battle of Saratoga. All Benedict Arnold had to do was not sell the plans of the chain across the Hudson River at West Point to the Brits. And he would have died and been considered one of the great heroes in the history of the early parts of the United States. And instead, he's the synonymous with the villain. All Pete Rose had to do was to cover his tracks about betting on baseball. And people would be referring to Pete Rose. He would be one of the most beloved figures in baseball. He would be in the Hall of Fame, and he would have been in the Hall of Fame probably by 1990 or 1991. I don't exactly remember which year was his first year of eligibility, but I know it was really damn close to the time when he was suspended in 89. I'm doing this all from memory. For the last quarter century, Pete Rose would have been enshrined in the Hall of Fame, would have been one of those faces who was always at those events, whether it's Willie Mays, whether it's Sandy Koufax, whether it's Henry Aaron. And he would be a cherished baseball legend. But a couple other things that are worth bringing up that would have changed in that chain reaction of events that we call reality. Pete Rose was the manager of the Reds. Now, as we found out, he wasn't always thinking about putting the best team on the field as manager. What if he continued managing? Remember what happened the first full year after Pete Rose was suspended? The Reds went wire to wire and won the World Series. They did that under Lou Piniella. In 1995, the Reds made it to the League Championship Series. That was under Davey Johnson. And in 1999, they got to a play-in game with the New York Mets for the wild card, which they lost, but they had a wonderful season that year. That was under Jack McKeon. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Lou Piniella, Davey Johnson, and Jack McKeon were all better managers than Pete Rose. Pete Rose never really showed that he was a terrific manager by any stretch of the imagination. Now, how much of that has to do with the fact that he had his mind elsewhere is up for debate. And it's one of the things that makes those years, 85, 86, 87, 88, pretty cloudy, especially in some of those years, especially 87, where I think the Reds probably had the better team. I think they were better than the Giants in 87. They probably were better than the Astros in 86. You have a better manager. Maybe they win a couple of times in the 80s. But the main point I'm making is, what if that happened? What if he was allowed to stay? There was no investigation. There was just sort of like, ah, Pete, yeah, he bets on the ponies. And it becomes kind of a colorful detail about his life. Kind of like Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth getting drunk and having sex with lots of women. Oh, yeah, Pete, he loves to gamble. He loves to gamble. Doesn't bet on baseball. But man, he loves the ponies. He bets on football. He bets on badminton. And like, yeah, that's up. Can't stop Pete. He's got to gamble. And that would be a little colorful detail. And along the way, we have Pete Rose as a thoroughly mediocre manager. And we don't have the Reds winning the World Series in 1990. And we don't have them making the postseason in 1995. And the fact that the Reds won the division in 1995 and won a World Series in 1990, I believe played big parts in Barry Larkin's Hall of Fame candidacy. Barry Larkin won the MVP in 1995, was a big part of the championship team in 1990. That was huge in his resume. I don't think those happen if Pete Rose is the manager. Now, Sully, why would the Reds keep using Pete Rose as the manager? Because Pete Rose would have been untouchable. He would have been the greatest star in the history of Cincinnati. A native of Cincinnati who led them to two championships as a player and is the all-time hit leader. He would be untouchable. To say, you can't fire Pete Rose. You have people who think he's untouchable now. And we know what he did. And every time I do anything on Pete Rose, there's this never-ending and frustrating and take your face and grab a rake and smash it together explanation to people who say, yeah, well, he never bet him to lose, you stupid idiot. And steroids are worse than this. And that. All the arguments you hear, I mean, that's knowing that Pete Rose did it. Can you imagine the way they defend him? Well, you got to go with Pete. Pete's up and Charlie Hustle. And the other thing would have happened was A. Bartlett Giamatti. Look it. Bart Giamatti was never the epitome of health. I don't think he ever would have been Mr. Universe. But I have a feeling, and people around I know correlation does not equal causation, but the fact he dropped dead of a heart attack shortly after the end of all this Pete Rose nonsense makes me think that probably weighed on him a little bit. You had a strong man as a potential commissioner of baseball. Giamatti. To weather the storm of the post-collusion, pre-strike mess that was baseball, that led to the 1994 strike and led to the steroid era. Instead, you had Faye Vincent, who a grand total of zero people liked, who was the wrong guy at the wrong time, which led to Bud Selig. And imagine, this looks like, what do you mean Bud Selig? You mean the owner of the Brewers? Him as the commissioner of baseball? Please, like Giamatti would ever let that happen. That would have been reality. What would have been reality is people look at the Reds and I can't believe Pete Rose is still the manager of the Reds. They haven't been good in years. And Reds fans said, you can't fire Pete, it's Pete's team. Molding it after Pete. And the other thing would happen is that Pete would be beloved and certainly the biggest star in the history of Cincinnati, but would no longer be a cause celeb. Notice that when you go to Cooperstown, you see all the greats who are there, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, they're all still there. When we lose an Ernie Banks, we lose a Yogi Berra, we lose Monty Irvin like we did last year, or Ralph Kiner as we did a few years before that. Pete would just be one of them. There'd be no need for Pete to set up shop and have cameras covering him. Here's Pete Rose setting up shop in Cooperstown looking for autographs during the ceremony. No. He'd be like, no, here's Pete along with everyone else. Which is part of the reason I feel that Pete wants to remain suspended. It's better for business. When was the last time Willie Mays was in the news? When was the last time Hank Aaron was in the news? Seriously. We love them. We love Hank. We love Willie. But the next time they're in the news is probably when they go. And now Pete's life is more, relevant. Because we're still debating him. The debate over Willie Mays ended a little bit ago. But think of the alternate universe we could have lived in. One where Pete's a beloved Hall of Famer and a mediocre manager. One where Bart Giamatti is a strong commissioner at the exact moment where that's what we desperately needed as baseball fans. And one where someone like Barry Larkin is a darling of the statistical crowd, but doesn't have the sexy things on his resume to make his Hall of Fame case. I love alternate realities. I do. And the one I just listed, I don't know. There's some good parts to it.
All right, hopefully you enjoyed that Turning Back the Clock episode of the show. We have a episode for tomorrow, which is New Year's Eve. And I have a special episode ready for New Year's Day. For those of you familiar with the Old Sully Baseball podcast, I'm doing the Suffering Index going into the new year. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and all the places where you get your podcasts. This has been Locked On MLB for the 30th day of December 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.